15 to 20 million jobs.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. And I'm going to ask each and every one of you to welcome a new friend to join our audience this week. Go to your telephone right now, invite family, friends, neighbors, acquaintances, whatever, people you work with. Let them know that we're on and we're beginning a new year with a new theme, and we're going to have lots to say about a lot of things happening in the USA. Some of them are very good, and some of them need improvement. Today I'm going to be speaking with the very well-known Dr. Larkin Connolly, who is the president of SCORE Philadelphia, also Rich Loges, who is the principal of RJL Technology Integration, and Mark Andel, the founder of the Made in America store, and we're going to be speaking with them. But as we begin the new year, I'm asking all of you to promote a few resolutions that will be helping benefit America and Americans. As you know, last year, millions of people supported our efforts and lots of local and national newspapers and radio programs, and even some of our state-level politicians promoted our Made in America efforts. And we have a lot of work to do. We're going to try to enroll millions more people this year so that we can make 2014 the year of American made. And I'll be speaking about some of my resolutions as we continue the broadcast today. But first, I want to ask Dr. Mark Andel, who's calling in from sunny Buffalo, New York.
We're making news again. How you doing, guys? Happy New Year's, and to the listeners, too. Yeah, the blizzard hit us pretty good. We're digging out. They lifted the driving bans here at 6 a.m., but they had all businesses closed in western New York yesterday. The Sabres game was canceled. Snow and cold and wind, real blustery.
Did you get the 2 feet they were announcing last night?
Yeah, we've got a good, we probably got right between there, 1 to 2 feet. Buffalo got hit right all the south towns. Lake effect is still hitting only about 10 minutes from me. So they had these driving bans, so even contractors with snow plows and things couldn't get into the businesses. They were ticketed. They shut the 90 off from the PA border all the way to Rochester and 219 and 75 and 62, which has never been done in decades. Since the 70s, I think. So, and the cold, we got wind chill down to about 30, 40 below yesterday. The regular temperature was about 5 to 10 below here in Buffalo. Outside, you know, I'm about 20 miles outside of Buffalo South. But good for our snowplow business. Now they're just getting in here, but really a strange day with all businesses closed. But you just said, we weren't. So I'm one of them guys that are out in it. But we want to start this year right, get everything going, and just be as positive and helpful as we can, Mike. So I'm excited. We had a great fourth quarter, Made in America. Our stores all did well. We had snow and winter in between, but you know what? I'm just happy people really love what we're doing. They enjoy seeing what Americans are making. And just excited to, stay healthy and kind of get this year kicked off.
And, Mark, it sounds like you're going to be in snow up there for quite a while.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. They've got a warm-up coming this weekend. So the Niagara River, the ice has never went over the ice boom, and the wind actually blew it over last night. So down by Niagara Falls and Niagara region, they've got the floods happening right now, which is crazy because it's 0 degrees out, and they got the roads flooding.
Because the ice was blocking up the water.
Yeah, it was being held like it should, but the wind blew it over these dams, so it goes towards the intakes for Niagara Falls that produces the power. So it's really causing havoc. So you got the snow, the cold, the blustery, the blizzard, and water coming in these lower areas.
You know, on Friday we had a major storm in Philadelphia, really shut down everything, schools, offices, you name it, it was shut down. And then on Saturday we had a crazy storm in the morning, and then sunshine in the afternoon. Then Sunday, again, ice came down in sheets, and everything was halted. By Monday morning, it went to 50 degrees on Sunday night.
What a
By Monday morning, we didn't have a flake of snow. I got up and I looked. I said, where is the snow?
And I don't know if you caught, though, 50 states, all of our states had below 32 degrees, even Hawaii. Yesterday, announced on World News, which is major when they were talking about global warming and all the things they talked about. But this vortex that lowered down, this is quite a cold snap that hasn't been seen in years.
Now, have we seen this vortex come down to this degree in the past?
Not in a long time, because I follow with Boss Snowplow. They're really tied to the weather, and it's funny, if you watch the Weather Channel, they've got a big marketing scheme that ends this week, but this is the time everybody sees. And they, you know, the country is good for 100,000 snowplows, and then everybody has their market share, and Boss has become the number one over years. But they were down to about 60, 70,000 plows in the last 2-3 years because winter's just dropped off. And then with the global warming, and people were talking that, the Earth's warming up, it's just not true. Now that this dropped down, that jet stream hasn't dropped that low, and the vortex hasn't moved off the North Pole in ages. They're saying since the 80s. So I'm not sure how low it's come before, Mike, but this is definitely record-setting. I know in 100 years, in the 1800s, some of the temperatures around haven't been matched. I know three broke records yesterday in different states. Minnesota was below 50 degrees, below zero with the wind chills, and just crazy, crazy temperatures. It just shows you things can change. You got to adapt.
Henry is a warm water guy in this area. He's looking. He heard 50 degrees below. Yesterday coming in, we had about 5 degrees below, and it was brutal. I've never seen anything like it in Philly.
I was 25, 30 degrees, recorded here below with the wind chill, and I was outside at the house. You can feel that on your face. You can feel the bite when it's 30, 40, wind chill below. You gotta stay, and you gotta protect yourself.
Right to the bone. Now, Mark, we have two people who are in Florida who are on the panel today. Larkin, he must have taken that cold weather down with him, because it was cold there in Florida for a couple days. And, Rich, how was your situation down there?
Well, guys, welcome to the new year. Happy belated holidays and new year to everyone. You know, Michael, you have to realize that cold to a Floridian is about 50. And we were at 50 last night. So all the Floridians, they ran for the hills because it was like the Arctic for them. Like those guys that got stuck out in the boat in the ice. We're doing a little better today, but yeah, it is, in all seriousness, it is a concern that it's the conditions that with all I have associates, friends in the Northeast and in Canada, so. It's going to pass. It's going to pass. But we had a good strong end of the year, Michael. And I know Larkin's here to take some of the he can take some of the brunt of the punishment too for being in Florida right now. So
well, but Larkin told me he was going down there to walk the beach in 75 degree weather. How did you make out? Did you get to the beach yet, Larkin?
Yeah, I found the beach, but all the sand was frozen.
Oh my Lord! What a situation!
I have to tell you, being in Florida is being in Florida. Last night, I believe it reached 22 or 20 or some very strange degree number, and it was still beautiful here. It really was.
Well, you did not experience the wind that we had over the weekend, and especially yesterday. Oh my goodness, Larkin! You really got out of town at the right time.
I'm going to try to put some snow in a box and really wrap it right so Larkin and Rich can send them some taste of Buffalo.
Well, I was supposed to fly out last Friday morning at 6:30. And anybody that was in Philadelphia last Friday morning at 6:30 knows that I didn't have a snowball chance in Hades of getting out of Philadelphia. And my daughter and my wife got on orbits and all the different, and they searched and searched and searched and got me out of Philadelphia and probably one of 15 flights that departed on Saturday morning at 6:30.
That's because they wanted you to get a little bit of that freezing Florida weather.
Well, the oranges still taste wonderful. They are. The citrus is just out of sight.
Well, gentlemen, as we begin the new year, I'm going to ask all of you. Now, anyone that did not hear the broadcast from January the 1st, I want you to go to your computer today or tomorrow or this week and listen to the broadcast, because Larkin made a few requests of Santa Claus, and I want you to hear what his requests were and exactly how he's going to get those requests. We'll be following up in a month or two, or maybe we'll have to do it before the end of next year or this year, because the Santa Claus is supposed to come true with a few of those things. And Larkin, you gave five very good points, and I would like to see at least four of them come true.
Well, I don't want to be picky about it, but I'd like to see all five come true.
Well,
it would be a much better place.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, as we get together with our good panel members in this first broadcast of the new year, I want to say that we have had a very good year. And before any of you go and purchase anything, please look at the tags and the packaging to see where those items are made. A lot of people that I've met over the holidays told me that they are doing that like never before. They are making a big to-do at the stores where they shop, and they're telling the personnel that if they don't get some more American-made stuff, they're either made in America or assembled in America, they're not going to be shopping there anymore, because they can't see us having our dollars shipped around the world to help other people when our own people are in need. And also, we did something very special this past year, and that was promoted National Small Business Weekend. And we're doing great things. As I mentioned a month ago, Philadelphia City Council passed that resolution unanimously, and it's now called Philadelphia Supports National Small Business Weekend. Then, to make matters better, our state house in Pennsylvania, two members of the state house, Representative John Taylor and Representative Mark Cohen, are going to introduce Pennsylvania Supports National Small Business Weekend, and that should be coming up in about 2 weeks. Also, Senator Michael Stack, also from Philadelphia, is going to be introducing legislation in the Pennsylvania Senate to promote National Small Business Weekend. So we're doing so many good things. I can't tell you how important our efforts are. And you know what? I was really pleased. I have to say this, Larkin, before I turn it over to you. As a result of this broadcast and the people seeing that we are very sincere about what we're trying to do, they've taken a lot more of what we've talked about more serious. They saw that it was just not a few sentences or a few weeks of a lot of words, but people really committed to making some positive changes happen. So I want to say thank you to Larkin, to Rich, and to Mark, and to everyone that has been helping us, to Henry, to Stephen, and everybody who's going to try to really go out of their way to make sure that we have a very good 2014. As I mentioned, we maybe all have to start supporting 2014, the year of American made. Now, Larkin, sorry to have...
No, that's fine, Mike. You haven't said anything that I don't completely agree with. And I will say, as an aside note, that if Senator Cohen can pass that legislation in Harrisburg, he will instantly be taken off my harassment list. And I will say nothing but nice things to him and about him from this point forward.
Well, I have to say that he did call me because they were working on the legislation. And it looks like maybe next week when they get together, they will introduce it. And as you know, they did something else in the Senate, which the House, and also it's now in the Senate as well, with Senator Michael Stack, is that any flag that's put in a school, on a cemetery, sold by or used in any state a facility must be made here in the USA. Any flag given out at a rally or whatever must be made here in the USA. Additionally, in part of that legislation, it also said that because of the concerns of the American people, we have to give preference to companies that give us proposals to do whatever service they're asking for to American-made companies, which I like very much. There is one problem that we learned about in handling this is many of the companies of the past, say 5, 10, 15 years ago, that were there to handle products from A to Z made here in the USA are now handling products A to Z that are made in foreign countries. So we're working. This year has got to be the year of American made, and I'm pleading with everybody to help us to do that by, you know.
And Michael, in the past, you and I have spoken, and Mark and Rich have certainly supported what I have said 4 months ago, and that is 2014 is going to be the big year. It's going to be the breakthrough year for the entitlement of Made in America. I'm absolutely thoroughly convinced of that. And I pick up things left and right every day now, and they are posting on that product, Made in America, Made in the USA.
You know, you're right, Larkin, and Mark, because you are dealing with so many companies that are making strictly in the USA their products. Is there any way we can encourage people to put a little flag? I see the little flags showing up more and more on products. I also see, like, waving red, white, and blue in the back of different labels and packaging. Boy, if we can promote this idea, it would also make your eye go to the product as soon as you go near it in the store, which would be very helpful to, you know, the whole project.
Michael, I mentioned I'll have the lady from Made in USA that helps people with the criteria they need to be able to put Made in America on and explain it to them. I'll have her, I'll get a hold of her soon, and I'll let you or Henry know, and we'll get her on the radio to help people that want to, you know, change their branding a little bit or emphasize that it's Made in America or port partial. And she does that because, you know, the Federal Trade Commission, if it's 50% more, you know, Made in America, you can put the stamp on. But she explains that how, and it's no charge. She has a little system. So I'll get her on, and I love to hear about the American flag. I have been part of that resolution, and a lot of my friends are from Altoona, Ricky Lee and Bill Bratner and VFW and veterans that have been pushing. They believe that that flag, any flag that's flown over a soldier or draped over the casket, should be Made in America, and it should be 100%, and most people can agree on that.
Absolutely.
That's awesome to hear that, Mike.
Absolutely.
Hey, Mike, I also wanted to step back and share with you a conversation that I had with my wife this morning. She's reading a book by Bill Bryson called One Summer, and it's about the year 1927 in America. And she said, I can't help but think about what you and the guys are doing every time I come to a new chapter in this book. But she said, look at this one paragraph. This is kind of amazing to me. And she read it to me. And it says that 42% of all that was produced in the world was produced in the United States in 1927. Everything in the world, America made 80% of the world's movies, 85% of the world's cars. Kansas alone had more cars than France. And at a time when the gold reserves were the basic marker for national wealth, America held half the world's supply of gold.
Oh, yes.
So we have a benchmark. I mean, we certainly have something to shoot for. And I think if you understand the Industrial Revolution and how America was, with all of its resources and all of its capital, human capital, was capable of pulling this off, you understand how the rest of the world has developed around the momentum that the United States built. So all we need to do, though, is as we've all agreed, to get our fair share, or 50% of what is sold in this country should be made in this country. And that's not such an outrageous number at all.
Not at all. In fact, as I've gone around in the last, say, 10 days, I've made a little bit of a survey to see if there are more American-made products on the shelves. And the answer is yes. And there are smaller products, even light bulbs and things like that. I see more and more stuff coming around, and I'd like to see more light bulbs. In fact, someone gave me an article yesterday saying that one of the light bulb companies was going to expand operation here in the USA, which cheered me up greatly. Before we say another word, I'd have to acknowledge a few of our sponsors. And in fact, yesterday, I, along with some friends, went to the Sugar House Casino at 1001 North Delaware Avenue in Philadelphia. We had some great wings, great atmosphere. It was a wonderful occasion. And if you'd like more information, check them out on the internet at sugarhousecasino.com. And for all of your legal matters, I encourage you to contact Mr. Michael Steinman, attorney at law, and he has two offices in Philadelphia. One is at 17th and JFK Boulevard. The other is at 8510 Busselton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, you can always call Mr. Michael Steinman at 215-564-1866. And best wishes for a new year from Mr. Frank Spula, who is the national president of the Polish National Alliance, which is America's largest ethnic fraternal life insurance organization. You can contact the PNA. They're located throughout the USA. Give their main office a call at 1-800-621-3723, and they'll have you in contact with an agent close to you. And when you go shopping, look for the name Giorgio, which is a symbol of quality since 1928. Giorgio Foods is America's largest processor of mushroom products. Wherever you shop, look for the Giorgio name, and you'll also find their pierogies, their mozzarella sticks, and so much more in the stores where you shop. And also, I'd like to note that Polka Deli is located at 2719 East Allegheny Avenue in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia. And wow, they feature a great selection of Polish-style meats and deli products and also imported items from Poland and many Polish-American specialty items. They're great supporters of our daily radio broadcasts here on 860 AM. Also, best wishes to you and yours as we begin the new year from Mr. George Szymański, attorney at law, and he has two offices to serve you. One is at 2538 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia. The other is at 1370 Choose Landing Road in Blackwood, New Jersey. For more information, call George Szymański, attorney at law, at 215-426-4680. And don't forget about Mark Andel and the Made in America store. You can check them out on the internet anytime by going to madeinamericastore.com, and Mark will make sure that that product is shipped to you with the great Mark Andel blessing. Also, if you are in Philadelphia and you want to have a beautiful shopping experience when you're looking for the finest meats, groceries, dairies, beverages, and sweets, and all those special European items, you can go to Net Cost Market. They're located at 117,001 Busselton Avenue. That's at the Leo Mall in Northeast Philadelphia. When you go there, you'll understand exactly what we're speaking of. And best wishes from the managers and all of the staff of Philadelphia's Net Cost Market. Well, getting back to our great panel, I would like to ask Rich, what is happening in Florida that you can see that's in the positive way going to help us support 2014 as the year of American made?
So, Michael, there's some local talk in it's similar to what's going on right now in Philly, which I know you'll keep us updated. I wanted to comment on that. It's a great example of how when we talk about elected officials. You know, I know it's very easy to often talk about elected officials on the federal side, but that's a great example of it happening more on the state and local side. And the autonomy that local governments can really exercise in putting these kinds of initiatives forward, I think this is the minimum expectation that all of us who are believers in the Made in America movement, which I think the country as a whole really is in, there's a consensus about this. Well, the fact is that we don't always have to wait on the federally elected officials. While I would certainly like to see that happen at the highest levels and see the elected officials talk about this, because, you know, I know politicians aren't usually self-promoting, but our minimum expectation should be that they at least try to put these initiatives forth. And when they do it, they need to let us know about that. So if it's happening right now, and again, I've said it before, I do believe that day-to-day elected officials on the federal level are spending some time about this issue, but when more time is spent and there's more voter pressure, that's when I think you're more likely to see a consensus and you're more likely to see this become not just talk, but a true initiative that will have action and inaction behind it.
Well, you know, Rich, you're right, but there is one situation that has to be noted. The local people, I'm just using Philadelphia and Pennsylvania as an example. When I deal with our Philadelphia elected officials or I deal with our state level officials, I usually have very good success because they're closer to the people. But in many respects, the people in Washington set the agenda. They set the budget where money is going to be distributed to the states for various things, and therefore the states can't do things until they know how the feds are going to do what they're going to do. One of the things that is good in our cities and our states is that you have a balanced budget amendment, which means every state can only take in a dollar and pay out a dollar. That's not the case with the federal government. And right now, as we begin the new year, I want to make sure it's known that the Democrats, the Republicans, and the Independents are not doing enough to attract private sector businesses to America. Our local people are doing better. But when on the federal level, when those federal taxes come in, it kills some of the businesses, and that's where they're spooked off. On the local level, we get a little more help. But on the national level, it's just not coming down. They're looking out mainly for themselves. We're even talking about the unemployment, that they're looking to make sure they extend the unemployment benefits for the next 90 days. My big question was to an elected official on New Year's Day, as we had a beautiful Mummer's Day parade in Philadelphia, and the Polish American String Band and everybody else did wonderful in the parade. I have to say this to you. They say that, well, we have to, can you help us push the long-term unemployment benefits? I said, I would do that, but I want to know, what are you going to do about pushing long-term job possibilities here so we don't have to have people on long-term unemployment benefits so that we can get our job skills back, et cetera?
Michael, it's absolutely different, especially on a federal level, the difference between a handout and a hand up. And we find ourselves in a rut where we just decide that everything's got to be a handout. Everybody is entitled to, regardless of what they paid into unemployment, they're entitled to collect unemployment until what? Until the economy corrects itself? Because Congress and the president certainly aren't doing anything to correct the economy right now. And it's full circle. You have got to recognize the need for healthy businesses who hire people to exist. the government can't pour money into fixing all the bridges in the country and think that this is going to supply jobs. It will to a certain element, but come on, we need to stop the taxes, taxing and spending. We keep on saying we're going to get it under control. We close down the government to get it under control. We do a mysterious thing. We wake up Monday morning, we tax.
Back to the same. And that is what I say. Our state people are more easy to deal with. They're more realistic. They're more working with people in the community. The federal people, they say they're down in Washington all the time. And yet, what are they doing down in Washington?
I'm not saying that there shouldn't be unemployment. I'm just saying that unemployment is a supplement to some program that will allow the economy to grow. And I don't see a program anywhere. I just see, the wonderful senator from the state of Pennsylvania standing up in front of the press, God, and the country, and saying we should increase unemployment, we should continue to give out unemployment, because 70 cents of every dollar goes back into the economy.
You're right, Larkin, but is there any proposal? The thing is, when they go to that press conference and the press listen to what he has to say, I saw it covered, no person from the press said, and by the way, Senator Casey, what are you proposing so that we don't have this nightmare of long-term unemployment?
Well, I'll tell you the trick. The trick is that before the press conference starts, before this staged program of mud that he's throwing at the wall to see how it sticks, his press secretary turns to every one of those members of Congress and says, there will be no questions.
Oh, see? Well, that's how it works, yeah.
Happens on a wholesale basis. There will be no questions.
You're talking with unemployment and a training or a plan. I'm trying to train right now. You know, again, our mission this year, I said, hey, I love resolutions. I start a new year. I got the guys together, our top managers, and said, let's get positive. Let's get helpful. We need training. So if you tied some type of training with this unemployment, because right now, again, I'm still looking for skilled workers. I'm still looking for employees. So I went to my school district. They had three young guys that are graduating, one had graduated that wants to become welders. I said, well, you know what, let me bring them in, let's try them part-time, and we'll work to make them see if they really want to be a welder. Also, I started training within. I said, geez, these guys that haven't welded or haven't done CAD, let's train them. So I'm big on the training this year, and that's what I think, Larkin, you agree with, and Mike and Rich, we need a better training plan. And also, Mike, I think you hit it on the head with the politicians are selfish. I mean, there's a lot of good people out there, and politicians too, but they've got to think less of themselves and less of the future. You know, I always said, I love our country. I'm proud of it. I'm not afraid to say that. You should love the country you live in and support the country you live in. We've just got to get the right people. We talk about it time and time again about voting the right in, Rich, and I think, you know, this year we're going to talk about that. It's just like me hiring right. If I have somebody that won't wear safety glasses, won't produce right, I've hired wrong. I've got to find somebody that will do what we need.
You're absolutely right. And by the way, Mark, I am pleased to say this. And Rich, I want you to let me know what you think of this. Made in Pennsylvania, a new article that came out in the Philadelphia Inquirer, where several universities are now getting together to see how they could promote rebuilding America's industries.
Love it.
They're looking to support more than 100,000 jobs through their united efforts. And I want to mention the universities: Penn State, Drexel University, Lehigh University, University of Pennsylvania, University of Pittsburgh. You have to check up on that, Larkin. Carnegie Mellon University and Temple University want to do something to turn around America's industries.
And, you know, I'd like to finish a story out I told about 7 weeks ago about a company that I was helping to respond to an RFP for SEPTA, the Southeast Pennsylvania Transit Authority, SEPTA. And I read the proposal, and I thought, this is really nice. It's kind of jazzy. And I looked at the cover of the proposal, and all of a sudden I said to them, I think you're forgetting to remind SEPTA of the most important facts in your quote. And that is that this quote is from a company that employs people from Pennsylvania who built things in Philadelphia and, by the way, ride SEPTA to work in the morning.
Right.
And as a result of that cover on that, SEPTA withdrew all of the bids and asked for a requote and changed some of the specifics to give an advantage to the local guy who's building exactly what the guy in Chicago is building, but SEPTA doesn't give any special treatment or any understanding that these are not only their people that are building it, built in Pennsylvania, built in Philadelphia, but it's built by people who ride their buses.
Right. Well, see, we got to get to the point in 2014, and we have to get after all the politicians possible, the people who promote all the contracts to build the SEPTA products, the buses, the L's, and everything else, because they say, well, we have to let it to our procurement departments to do that. That's not the way it should be. We as the taxpayers should really know where our dollars are being spent. If they're to fix roads, we want to know that it's for roads and it's not for some special project that they have, you know, to celebrate the 100th anniversary of this or that or build some program that has nothing to do with roads. What is budgeted for roads should go to roads. What's budgeted for the promotion of new jobs, which is what this article is saying, made in Pennsylvania. Larkin, you were talking once about Made in Philadelphia.
Right.
That's also being discussed. People are trying to promote, even through the National Small Business Weekend, it was discussed that we're going to promote more of the items made in Philadelphia during the first weekend of every month, which I like very much. In fact,
I think Mark probably thinks that I've dropped that ball or that I'm not going to do it. But I talk to people every day about a store in Philadelphia that has on one side of the aisle Made in America and on the other side of the aisle Made in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I love the idea. We have a New York store like that by Rochester. We actually supply them some goods. And if I get the chance, which hopefully will be soon because we're at 6,000 square foot with the main Made in America store, I want to build the new store, would be about 10,000 square foot. And every aisle I'd like to have a piece of a state and in their product. You know, every aisle would be neat, or a section of the aisles. I always thought that would be excellent to, you know, highlight what's made where and support them states and then all together as Made in America, you know, the store itself.
That's a very good idea. Ooh, that's an interesting idea.
That'd be great. You walk in, and I'd like to say, you know, this weekend's a big American Bus Association meeting. This is a meeting that's going to be held in Nashville this coming week. It starts Saturday. It goes all the way to next Wednesday, the 15th. And what you do, the operators from around the country go there, and then us, we're a destination, or Macy's, or Walt Disney World, or, you know, Cracker Barrel. They go there, and they try to sell their self to these operators to get them to stop with their buses. So this is going to be the first time Made in America is going to have a booth down in Nashville this weekend. I'm going to be down there. So I'll be calling in, Mike, next week. I'll call from the show. It's called the American Bus Association Show. It's real big. I'm excited to go sell because people love to come see us up here in Alma, a small town. We've passed almost 300 buses now in the 3.5 years. But it's great that Americans, they want to see what Americans are making. They love what we're doing. And we're also going to sell. We're really pushing our wholesale this year. So any listeners that need wholesale products in your stores, I'm your answer. We can get you. We're up to 6,500 products. So we're going to take our top 10 or 20 products and try to get in every souvenir store in the United States. All these destinations have souvenir stores. I want them to sell some part, even a small percentage, Made in America. And that's the angle I'm hitting also with this show.
Very good. Mark, you have to let me know the items that you're talking about.
Will do.
Because I know that in late May, we have a group, even the Happy Travelers from Philadelphia. They're coming up to see you, and they're going to be in contact with you very soon. But that's the kind of stuff we have got to continue to do. And I'm really pleased also to tell you the amount of good publicity you got on World News with Diane Sawyer. A lot of people have told me, oh, I saw that guy, Mark, that I hear on your radio. I saw him when he was covered by ABC World News. And I said, well, that was like 2 years ago, wasn't it, Mark?
Yeah, we were on four times total, but we've stayed connected with Eric Knoll and the crew there. They do a really good job of promoting the Made in America, of course, and they're just good people. They get it, and that was awesome. We had Sharon Alfonsi come down back in 2011 for the main featured show, and that's still on our website. But people do remind it. It's funny, TV, they remember like it was yesterday. Some people say, I seen you last week on there. But World News does a great job, and it made a difference. If you keep it in front of people, and that's what we're trying to do here, I want to be seen and heard on things. And I think even our panel here with Rich and Larkin and you, Mike, I've got to make a little board at these shows and show us and promote your station. I think I can help you more and us more.
Yes.
And get the job done.
Yes, and I do. I appreciate you having us linked on your site, and that's what we have
we'll
to do.
We'll try to push more and more this year.
I know that Larkin was putting up National Small Business Weekend on his site. He's got a newer site coming up in a month or two.
And that will be on that site, Michael.
And I want to say to you that you can check us out on Facebook by going to facebook.com/American Workers Radio, where you'll see updates about Made in America campaign and National Small Business Weekend. And you can also leave us or a message or send us a message and see what we're trying to do. The American people have seen that it's really up to us to take action, to make this change. Our national leaders disappointed us. They're looking out for themselves, looking out for every other country in the world, and that's not what we send them to Washington and are paying them to do, and we want them to know it. And I know they don't like some of the things that I say because it's repeated and it's emailed out to 23,000 people, but it doesn't matter. I feel that everything that we do has a very positive result, and that's what it's all about. Before we continue, I want to acknowledge some of our additional sponsors, and they include Dr. Vladimir Zin of Everest Dental. If you're looking for dental services, make sure you contact Dr. Vladimir Zin. He's located at 9892 Bustleton Avenue in Northeast Philadelphia. Give him a call at 215-671-0188. And also, if you are looking for great coverage for your car, maybe your health or your home, you can call Karen Janod from State Farm. You can give her a call at 215-862-5490. When you call, you can ask for Regina Brock, and she'll be able to assist you. They do speak both English and Polish. And also, Yolanda Konopatska, the Scipio attorney at law, is always there to serve your legal needs. Give her a call at 215-624-9234. Also, I'd like to mention that Mr. Joseph Drobot, who is the national president of the Polish Roman Catholic Union of America, known as the PRCUA, wishes all of you a very happy new year, and they invite you to contact the PRCUA for all of your insurance needs by giving them a call at 215-425-3807. That is their Philadelphia satellite office. And also, if you're planning to do some travel, maybe you want to go see Mark Andel there in sunny Buffalo, or maybe join Larkin and Rich in beautiful 100-degree weather there in Florida, you can contact the Polish American Travel Service. They're located at 2714 East Allegheny Avenue, or give them a call at 215-634-3396. Also, Leon Mankowski, attorney at law, is always supporting our radio programs and community events, and his law office is located at 2624 East Allegheny Avenue in Philadelphia. You can give him a call at 215-739-8521. And also, Martin Bednarek, who is the president of Washington Savings Bank, wishes all of you a great 2014 and encourages all of you to support our efforts to make 2014 the year of American made. And don't forget, our sponsors, the Net Cost Market. They're located at 117,001 Busselton Avenue at the Leo Mall. That's just off Byberry Road and Busselton Avenue. Make sure you stop by, and by the way, you can even save more when you go to Net Cost, when you get a Net Cost Club shopping card. Well, returning back to our panel members, I want to go to Rich and see, Rich, what is new on your agenda down there?
Well, Michael, I want to make a comment on the State of Pennsylvania initiative. And if you look at that, you look at the City of Philadelphia's initiative, it's showing now is great potential. And I really believe the minimum expectation that we need to have for elected officials is if they try. Now, if they try and they don't succeed, that's a different conversation. But the effort, the attempt has to be there. It has to be put forth. That statistic, Larkin, that you gave about manufacturing, you know, almost 100 years ago, it's when you think of it in the context now, it seems so astounding, but in actuality, that was the norm back then. So why the things, the way they happen is perhaps subject for debate. What I have said for many years is I believe what elected officials lacked more than anything was foresight. And they lacked foresight because of either a willing either in denial or just a willful ignorance of what was happening elsewhere around the world. Now, whether Michael, elected official, knew what was happening and just ignored it, or they really didn't know what was about to happen, the end result, the net result, is still the same. But in the interest of looking forward, we need to have a minimum expectation, and I believe a minimum voter requirement, that this issue of Made in America, which is directly tied into our economy, which ties into essentially everything that happens in our country, the elected officials, they need to talk about what they're going to do. They need to work together to achieve that, with the understanding that compromise is always part of that working together. And we as voters need to continually put the pressure on. And this is exactly what this project that I mentioned during the broadcast, where Larkin gave his Santa wish list, this Lesser of One Evil project, this political project that I'm working on that is set to launch, I hope, very soon. And what this project is going to serve as is a constant reminder to voters that we are the ones who really are, in theory, supposed to have the power. It's not supposed to be the elected officials. It's supposed to be the voters. And I think that most of America, Michael, and I've said this and I believe this deep down, regardless of what any statistic shows me, that deep down the majority of the country essentially wants the same things. Are there disagreements on how to get there? Will there be compromises? Yes, that's part of the political process. But I believe that ultimately there is a consensus. The two parties, however, drive the division via the ideologies, because the ideology is the thing that keeps all the money coming in, and that keeps all of the two parties have the same goal, which is to get elected and stay elected. We have to remind ourselves, and that's what one of the key mission statements of this project is, to remind voters that we are the ones that are empowered, and we are the ones that need to hold elected officials accountable at all levels, federal, state, and local. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. What you're saying, Rich, is that we want and need men and women with ideas and principles to fill America's capital in Washington, D.C., with the main goal of leadership and the desire to help Americans first. That's the bottom line. You know what? I have to tell you, you're going to like this. I mentioned this some time ago, but in going to some holiday receptions and speaking with one particular elected official, he said to me, well, I understand what you're doing. He said, I do continue to use a lot of your text from your commentaries when I go out speaking, and people like what I have to say, and I want to give you credit for it. But he said, a lot of what happened is to America is we thought that we would be doing the less laborious jobs in the USA, and we would push laborious jobs all around the world. But it just didn't work out that way, and, you know, it should have been halted a long time ago. I said, yes, it should have been halted 30 years ago. But nobody has been speaking up until now, when little voices like ours are uniting, and then you get some of the ABC World and some of the ethnic programs that are pushing the Buy American Made campaign and National Small Business Weekend. Why must it be done by the grassroots level of people and not by the leadership in Washington that we're paying to do the job?
And for the first time, Michael, I'm going to stick my neck out and blame Congress for the situation that we have in our extraordinarily out-of-sight trade imbalance. As intrusive as those people are in Washington, D.C., they want to tell me how many ounces of soda I can drink. They want to tell me what my medical plan should look like and what the bare minimum. All they want to do is intrude on my life and tell me what it is I can and can't do. Well, while they're all sitting there fiddling, while our business goes to hell in a handbasket, and we wake up to the Olympics in our country and find out that our own Olympic athletes are wearing uniforms that were made in China. Wake up.
And this was another thing that was presented to our national leaders because of ABC World News. Majority of the national leaders who are helping to pay and raising money and supported the Olympic team, which is mainly raising it on their own, but they sat in amazement when they saw that report on Diane Sawyer's show. They couldn't believe it.
Michael, I want to tell a very quick story on this. On New Year's Eve, I had to get my new license. And when the lady asked me, very nice lady, when she asked me at the DMV, do you want to change your voter registration? I said, yes, please, I want to change it. And this is how the conversation went. Republican or Democrat? My answer was other. She said, there is no other. I said, I know, that's the problem. And Michael, in 5 minutes, with no money, and in 5 minutes, I had this lady say, you know, Richard, you're right about this. We need more people. And Michael, to show you the influence that I think all of us can have, this lady emailed me to tell me that she's now tuning into the show.
Excellent.
So, you know, and Larkin, you know, Larkin, Mark, you guys are successful in business. And the influence that we can have by pressuring elected officials, by pressuring future candidates, by talking to voters, getting voters to kind of turn off the rage that they see on the regular media and all of the entertaining aspects of our politics, just in a few minutes, Michael, it's all it took. And all of us collectively, I'm telling you guys, we have a tremendous amount of influence. Mark, I know I've said it to you on air before. You know, you've got notoriety. Your respect and what you're doing is there. It's burgeoning. Larkin, same for you at your business. All of us are in business. Collectively, what we could do, and this is part of my project, guys, I'm telling you, it's significant. It really can make a difference, but it has to start at the ultimate level, which is
the grassroots,
being involved, and what voting is where it begins.
Mm-hmm.
It's not where it's not where it ends. It's where it begins. And elected officials, we have to look at them and say, are they trying? If they lack foresight, Michael, it's because of some of the things that you just mentioned a few minutes ago. Because they were distracted with all these other myriad things going on elsewhere in the world, and right, Larkin, you know, how much soda to drink, the government. First of all, government and corporations should not be in healthcare. That's stupid. Why do businesses, Mark, why do you have to take the time to meet with insurance companies? I mean, that takes away time. Why are you involved in determining what type of health insurance your employees get. I know ultimately you mean well, but let's be honest. Most people that bring in health insurance companies who are owners, CEOs, CFOs, I mean, they don't really understand this stuff. Why are they involved in it? Whereas we could get this thing moving in the right direction by getting everybody paying into the system like they kind of do right now. So I don't want to take it on the healthcare tangent, but I'm just saying, guys, that, and this isn't meant to be a platitude or to hype everybody up, but the influence that we can have, there's so much potential. There really is.
I agree, Rich, 110%. And Larkin, I did get a chance to listen to about half or 75% of the segment. Your five talking points, right on. I mean, you had me listening eager. Just the great stuff, but together we're making change. And people, you know, they want to know how to do their part. Just start this year, you know, this month when you go into places, just ask for Made in America products. You know, I'd like to see you get more. You can do it a subtle approach at every vendor or merchant you use, and that's how people can make the difference. But, Rich, you're dead on, you know, you're right on, too. I think we're making a difference, and we can continue to do more if we put our efforts together.
Guys, I have to say this to you as we're getting closer to our end of the broadcast. 50 years ago today, President Johnson's federal war on poverty took effect. It was supposed to address all good things, and here we are 50 years later. We now have 90 million people not in the labor force. Unfortunate, but it's true. If you look at the U.S. debt clock, which is located on the front page of AmericanWorkersNeedYou.com, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. You can go back even to the year 2000. Why aren't we promoting ways to get these people back into the workforce?
And there's a quote to that end, Michael, and let's remove the politics from it altogether and just look at it from Rich's perspective. Charles Barkley was thinking of running for governor in Alabama, and at one point during an interview he said, listen, we need to think about this. Poor people have been voting for Democrats for the last 65 years. And guess what? They're still poor.
That's right.
Nobody's fixing anything.
Larkin, Rich, we're going to continue our discussion on this because this was a good discussion today. Next Wednesday, I hope that all of you will be ready, able, and willing. And I know, Mark, you're going to be down there at the bus show. Get me some contacts because I'd like to welcome them to come to historic Philadelphia as well. Rich, Larkin, and Mark, thank you so much. Thanks to all of our listeners. We will have a rebroadcast of today's shows up there a little later on today. But check us out for many things by going to AmericanWorkersNeedYou.com or AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Have a great one.
Thank you, my everyone.
You too, guys. Have a good week. I'll try and stay warm.